the truths that you've known turn into lies. When the voice of your lover reveals its disguise, I will be there for you. When the face that you wear cannot conceal, when the pain that you bear is all that you feel, when the world that you touch is no longer real, I will be there for you.
Hi, TJ.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. It's nice to hear your happy voice today.
Well, it's so nice to hear your sweet, wonderful voice, goddess-like voice.
You know. Oh, see, this is how I knew we were related. You're a man of great wisdom.
I'm also a smart guy, too. I know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you are. You're a smart guy, but today you're wise.
Oh, I'm wise. Okay.
You're wise.
So I've got this alarm that's going off. Oh, I think it stopped. Okay, we're good.
It stopped. Okay.
Did you hear that? Could you hear that?
Oh, I could hear it, but it's no biggie.
Okay.
You know? It's all good.
That's just my pacemaker. It's not a big deal. I gotta replace the battery sooner or later, but it's fine.
I hear you. Well, I want you to know today, in keeping with being happy and merry, we have another divine soul brother of ours on, Ted Slipchinski. Are you there, Ted?
I sure am.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, thank you for having me. Hello to both of you.
Thank you. Hello to you, Ted.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you here, Ted.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. My dog's excited. She's coming out.
Well, that's good.
Now she's banging her bones.
So, you have, you and I have talked, too, before we even, you know, came to the show here, and you have this music that I guess we're going to go down that road today, but it sounds like you've been inspired to do this, haven't you?
Yes, definitely. Did you say inspired?
Yes, I did. Inspired to do this.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's more than even inspired. It was something that happened to me starting about 25 years ago. When I basically called out to the universe, and I had been feeling kind of repressed. I felt like there was a band of energy around my head, and I really couldn't express my own personality, get myself out. And I was just watching TV one night, and I asked to feel more alive, you know, more dynamic, and I felt this energy, like this explosion of energy come into me. One of the things that happened was my voice over time started changing, and I started to get all these melodies and words for songs coming in. So it was inspiration plus.
So is this what you describe as having the Kundalini-like experience on the website?
Yeah, I call it Kundalini-like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a classic Kundalini experience in the sense that, you know, I didn't feel the energy shooting down my spine. And there's a lot of characteristics that supposedly go into like a more typical Kundalini experience. But I definitely felt and still feel this tremendous energy that came into me. I describe it as if there was if you had a cord attached to the back of your head, and that cord was like plugged into like a cosmic generator. And what happened was, you know, if you just sit and close your eyes, right, what do you experience? You'll have thoughts, you might have emotions, you might have a physical sensation. But underneath all that, there's this energy. There's a stillness, or the Buddhists call it emptiness. But in my case, that started to become alive, like in a vibrating, pulsating way. And at first I thought I was losing my marbles. You know, I couldn't understand it. It felt like something was happening to me. Over time, I gradually learned that it really wasn't something happening alien to me, but it was actually giving me myself. It really was myself, my deeper self, my truer self that I was experiencing.
It's wow.
Been it hasn't set off for around 40 years.
Wow, and so this is ongoing then.
Yeah, it's ongoing. I've learned a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
And had to face a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to it, changing my voice, and that was like a new toy. I was like a kid with a new toy because no matter what I went through, I would have, I would be singing, and I never could sing. I mean, I would sing in the car, and my girlfriend would turn the radio up. You know, she didn't want to hear it. And I was, you know, I wasn't much of a singer. And I started singing. I started getting this voice, and I said, this was the one thing I could count on. It shocked the hell out of me. And, you know, it came almost operatic. It was just so powerful. Yeah, that it was blowing my mind. But the energy was kind of reshaping my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And it forces you, really pushes you during the course of your day to realign your emotions and your thoughts and your body to resonate with it. And
so, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so from what you're saying, it sounds like this energy has directly affected your physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual life.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I had choices to make. I mean, that's, you know, for example, mm-hmm. I was working in mental health. I'd go to work. Let's say my boss would say something to me that I didn't like. So, you know, we have conditioning of this personality, and immediately you have a set of reactions that you're conditioned into. You know, you can feel
mm-hmm.
sorry for yourself, you can get mad, you can start to judge her, whatever. So you have all that going on. But at the same time now, for the first time in my life, I had something else going on. I had this energy kind of coursing through me.
Mm-hmm.
And those patterns, the old patterns, would not really resonate with that energy. And if
mm-hmm.
I tried to get into those old patterns, I would get like sick, literally sometimes physically sick. I couldn't do it. And I had,
mm-hmm.
so I had learned the hard way that I had to try to adjust my thoughts and my reactions, my emotions to that force.
Mm-hmm.
And what resonated with that force, I found out, was that you take responsibility for your stuff. You know, I got whatever I have to learn, and you don't. And above all else, you try to love the other person, see the good in them, not judge them, you know, not separate from them, not feel sorry. You know, you look, and you don't roll over and play dead, but you honor them and respect them.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe, but it kind of like pushes you constantly, so that you have to reshape everything.
It really created a monumental, pivotal life changes in your personality and life patterns and choices you've made.
Well, it is really my life now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the focus of my life.
Yeah.
Nothing else really mattered, because it's I consider it like my soul essence, or I don't know how to describe it, but it's like the real me. It's not the person that. So we all walk around with this person we think we are, and
mm-hmm.
It's such a small, limited, so terribly limited collection of responses and reactions and whatever. And then you're faced with this energy, which is like who you thought you were, a thousand times better than what you thought you were,
mm-hmm.
but it's a challenge because they're coming up mm-hmm. against each other.
Yeah.
And then you have the physical, the body, which is not my forte, was to pull this energy through the body, because it wants to flow through the body, and I'm a bit of a couch potato, you know. So that was a challenge. I dealt with a lot of things from that. But it's getting good now.
Yes. Yes. And
yep.
I think I know I've known you for a while too, and I don't know if I told you this or not, TJ, but there was a time when my biological brother was dying, and Ted would call me on the phone and sing his songs to me while I was grieving. And it was one of the reasons why I in that experience, I had the opportunity to experience the effects of Ted's music and the soul of his work with what he does with his singing. And it literally brought this massive comfort and peace to me while I was going through that. It was just phenomenal. Did I tell you that?
You didn't tell me that, no. I don't believe so.
No.
And if you did, then I wasn't listening at the time.
But no, I don't think I did tell you. I think I told you I knew Ted, but you know, he had done this. He used to do these calls sometimes where he would, you know, sing to people, and he did that with me. And so that is really one of the times that I actually got to experience the healing of his music.
Do you think, because I talked to you about this, Ted, and I want to ask you this, Joy, because you and I, Ted, we must have talked a good hour the other night, but Joy, has Ted tapped into like a, you know, I believe there are different levels of music that lift us, you know. Chances are you might, you know, maybe you like rap and that lifts you in some way, but there seems to be certain types that raise our vibration even more. And is he tapped into that universal type of music?
Absolutely. You know, there are certain musicians like Bach, and then there's Enya and Josh Groban. When I have heard them, I have literally seen wings come out of their back, and I have seen visions from Bach's music. And Ted's music had that level of a profound effect on my soul. It was just amazing, and there were certain songs, and he there was no music, and he just sang, and it was very sweet and heartful and soulful, and it literally helped lift me out of my grief because I was helping Tommy die or go home, and that was pretty intense time, you know. So I think he definitely is singing to raise the vibration, because I know that's how it affected me, you know.
And so he tapped into... Go ahead. Go ahead, Ted. Are you there, Ted? Go ahead. What were you going to say, Ted?
I had a little hard time hearing you on this phone. Well, I think it's part of my sole purpose, you know, and it's been a long time coming. I spent a lot of times up here in Vermont, you know, singing to the trees, and I'm getting a really good response, you know, from this CD that I put out from people, because one lady said it's like a big hug listening to it. And this is all I really want to do. I want to help people to have an experience of their own essence, their own divinity. Yeah, pretty simple. And that's what I think I tap into. I don't think it's real complicated or anything, but if I can get my heart open, you know, I just open it up and just, that's where the songs come from. And they move me when I write them. You know, I don't know where some of the words are coming from. I move to tears, and there's like a invisible internet that connects everybody of energy. And if people have their hearts open, they can't, you know, miss that. I guess that's all I can say about it.
I don't think they can miss it, but I think, too, that the music also helps to open the heart, Ted. I think it really has the capacity to do that.
I've had people tell me that. And I've had a lady, like, tell me the other day, like, she got in her car and she was really, really tied up in knots, and she just put the thing in the CD in there, and she drove to work, and by the time she got to work, she just felt really good. And that was like music to my soul, because that's what all I want to do. That's what I wanted to do. And then she said she was getting these images come into her head, and she felt transported to some place, you know, and it's just, to me, it's like, it's almost like in spirit, you know, that kind of oneness mm-hmm. that we have, and that tapping into that simple space, that energy.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, to me, that's like better than any award in the world. You know, I don't sing publicly that much, but once when I did, this kid, guy came up to me and said, you know, my mother's, for the first time, I saw her happy.
Yeah. Wow.
Because her son had died. So
and that's
in my heart.
Yes. Hmm? Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's like $1 million record contract right there.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah. Absolutely.
People say there's a couple of songs I want to play at their funeral, you know, which I'm honored by. You know,
yeah.
Just for people to say that. So.
But TJ, that again, that's what you were saying, that the music helps raise the vibration, you know?
And I'm also seeing
it
that
really does.
I'm seeing that because he tapped into, I don't know if there's universal of a music of like the heavens or different levels.
Mm-hmm. Spheres, yeah.
And so, you know, let's face it, some of the music that's here on this planet now doesn't raise my vibration too much
mm-hmm.
because it's just, it doesn't, you know, the words it chooses to use, or maybe just the arrangement. And then there are songs that hit you and they just lift you right up. And I think it's, you know, the same as when somebody paints something. Where do we draw it from? Or even just being, you know, on the radio, where do we draw it from? Where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's that place, like you said, it's the spheres, you know, it's bringing heaven to earth.
Right.
That vibration feels it is a door to do that, to bring a facet of heaven to earth vibrationally through music and the poetry and the songs themselves. The words are just phenomenal. Ted, I just wondered, with everything that's going on the planet, right, how do you feel the music can help serve with the great transformations that are going on at this time? You feel that's possible?
Yeah, I don't worry about outcomes, or, you know, mm-hmm. I can't predict any sort of form, you know, so I know it feels like a good part of my job, you know, that mm-hmm. what I signed up to do. And, mm-hmm. All I want to do is touch people and mm-hmm. realize, give them comfort and realize there's a space, you know, within them that they can access. And some mm-hmm. people have, you know, a lot of people maybe listen to this broadcast maybe have more experience with it, but a lot of people don't even know about it. And you can do it with a song. You can't necessarily do it with an essay or a speech, mm-hmm. but with everyday people who may not have ever heard of New Age this or meditation or whatever, that they go, oh, wow, you know, my mm-hmm. garage, my auto mechanic, you know, just loved this song I did. And I was so thrilled. And it can bring them out of whatever sadness or pain or nervous energy, whatever, you know, for that time. And I'd like to look at it as kind of a medicine or an elixir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people not necessarily could just be entertained by, but they could just listen to, and it could transform what they're going through. It just could help open the heart up, and so in that little way contribute to the planet.
Beautiful.
You know, I could see that even be like, you know, if you had let's say you did about 1,000 songs there, Ted, we could turn that into a radio station. And so we could,
yeah, <right. laughs>
no, but just imagine if that was going out over the radio airwaves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, radio, because I've been in it since Noah was a boy, it's like, I know it's about making money. You can't stay alive and run a radio station. It costs a lot of money, especially if you have a big signal. And the biggest thing is you've got to have listeners. And you've got to prove it, and they do research, you know, in ratings. Well, if people are tuning in to feel good, wouldn't that multiply? Because I'm thinking, you know what? You could just play the music.
I would hope so.
And there would be people tuning in all over the place.
The whole thing with this process for me is that I have to keep my, I'm trying to keep my mind out of it, my ego and my mind. And, like, the mind is always trying to figure out outcomes. And the problem is, I talk about this river, it's like river of life, which is this energy. You know, that's what I call it. And then the mind is like, well, you know, how do I get this CD out there? Who's going to buy it? I mean, people like it when they listen to it, but how do I get it out there? And then it's like, it's not for me to worry about. I just sometimes, yeah, I just try to remember to surrender it to that river and let it take care of it. But that's a hard thing to do. You know, we're not really conditioned that way.
No.
Our minds are get out of balance and try to run the show. And that's something I'm learning to do, you know.
Well, the other thing I see what TJ said is I think it's an opportunity, and it didn't come from your thought, Ted. It came from TJ and his excitement, his soul excitement. He's doing vision too, and you know, and when he was talking about people tuning into a show and listening to your music, they could do this and amplify, raising their frequency, and more callers would come in. And I feel that is something that has a potential maybe for you to sleep on and see what you feel.
Well, I'd just a suggestion. Love to try to get this to as many people as I can.
There you go.
But, you know, I just can't. I don't know how, so I'm surrendering it because I can't do it, you know. But
well, yeah. So you surrendered and you wound up here, and now you're with TJ. Yep, right, TJ?
That's right, and you're going to sell a million albums before your next birthday. I just got that in from the higher place.
Yeah,
so,
which is April 21st, by the way.
So oh, well, maybe we're going to have to get on that a little bit.
That's right. We're going to have to speed the process up. But I have a question for you, and I feel it's a really good question. How can other people access this energy that you connected with consciously?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that because people ask me that. So I go on certain Facebook groups, one or two, that I go on, you know, these wonderful conversations, and the answer I'm coming up with is for one thing, you got to be careful what you ask for, because you know, I'm no guru and I don't claim to be able to
do this. You're not.
No. But if I had the power to, you know, to snap my fingers and somehow, which is ridiculous, transmit this energy to somebody else, I might not be doing them a great favor, because you really. You have to, it's hard to balance it. You know, it took me many years. Now, I'm not saying it takes so many years, but I'm just saying people kind of get what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And the people say, well, I'd like to feel this energy. Well, it would depend, you know, if you have to deal with your emotions and your mind and your body. And if you're, you know, if somebody thinks the whole world's out to get them, or if they think life is tough and it's all struggle and they have a lot of deep emotions that they're not yet, they haven't come to grips with, and then, you know, you blast them with this energy, and that's going to cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
And I suffered a lot from it. You know, I went through, because I'm stubborn and I resisted it like crazy. I got through it, but took its toll, but it's reversed itself, you know. But medically, I went through things because I fought it so much. So I wouldn't necessarily want people to get it, you know, to have it, unless they were able to integrate it and ground it. And they would have to really desire that. That would have to be something they desired more than, you know, a house in the suburbs or anything. I would have to be there. They really have to want to do that. But then, you know, there are ways to gradually do it with the level you're at, you know. Soul recognition that you talked about, and just meditation.
So what tools have you used to help you that most?
Well, I mean, you gotta deal on all the levels, the mental and the emotional and the physical, and you have to try to get them aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you can do affirmations on a mental level,
mm-hmm.
but if you have these kind of deep-rooted emotions you haven't looked at yet that are kind of working against you, then you can do all the affirmations in the world. They're not going to help you. So
no,
I believe I'm working on all levels together.
Okay.
On the emotional level, one of the things I've done, a simple thing, is who's given to me by my channel buddies, and they said if something comes up that you don't like or physical symptom or something you don't like, first thing you do is you thank it. And then the second thing you do is just relax and you get the message. Try to feel out what the message is.
Okay.
And then the third thing you do is you try to visualize how you really want to be. And then the fourth thing is you, like, ground it into the earth, by taking some sort of concrete step. So I've done an awful lot of that. I've had to look at, there's a constant sort of discipline that I've had to do. It's not a rigid discipline. It's kind of a light discipline. But, because the mind is always working. I've had to say, okay, there you go again.
Mm-hmm.
Getting...
So you worked with quieting the mind.
I worked with discerning, quieting the mind, but also learning to love my sludge. When the junk would come up, not fight it,
mm-hmm.
love it, relax, lovingly
mm-hmm.
let it go, and then trying to get the message of what it was teaching me. When I was blocking this energy, I got a lot of physical symptoms from it, and I had
mm-hmm.
to figure out, okay, what's the message here? And then I would think, well, get this condition because you're afraid to be heard. You don't want your voice to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so every time, I got a little cough now, so probably nerves, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But a while ago, I couldn't even have a conversation because
mm-hmm.
I was coughing so much.
Yeah.
And I had to, but then whenever I would say, whenever the urge would come up to cough, I'd go, oh, thank you very much. I understand where you're coming from now. You're trying to, you're afraid to be, get your voice out, and that's okay, but we're not going to do that anymore. That's over now. We're moving forward. And sure enough, that 95% of it cleared up.
Beautiful.
It was pretty amazing how it cleared up.
That is. And that's such an important piece that when, as you were telling this part of your story, how it's important we love our sludge. What do you think of that, Teach?
Love our sludge, love our phlegm, whatever you want to call it, right?
But it feels important because it's about embracing
it
all of you, and not just being selective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really feel that.
I feel the same thing with you, Ted, because I go through that as well. There are things that come up, and it's happening more now than I think it, because of things are changing, right? And so we're seeing it more and more and more. And, there's people in my life that make me, they're forcing me to love them is what they're doing.
One way or another.
You send thank you notes to.
Yeah, really.
Allowing you to refine your
absolutely
capacity.
That's true.
To live.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. Yeah, that's how it's interesting you said that, Ted, because when I say thank you to the soul after I've come through something, that's how I know I'm complete with the lesson, because
mm-hmm.
I thank their soul, and I know at that point I'm at peace with it.
Right.
The other thing I want to, just mention was the body, and a lot of people think, well, we're not this body, we're spiritual beings having a human experience or whatever. But while we're here, we have these bodies, we've got to take them seriously. It wasn't my forte. I used to go to the workshops, with soul support systems once in a while. The first thing Magdalena would do, she was your guest previously, she would get people dancing. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
what does this got to do with spirituality. Or, you know, they're all dancing around, you know. And what it was doing was getting people out of their heads, you know, into their bodies and allowing the energy to move. And that's something I can feel so strongly with this energy. It's pouring through, and I got to get it moving down my body. You know, I got to stand on the earth, bring it down, feel my feet, you know, play with the dog, you know. And it's never been my strength. It's something I have to kind of make myself do. Keep it flowing. It's a real, real strong need to ground it.
Now, is this, like, as you're describing this, is this the same thing as what you would call the spiritual immune system, you know, to run
this energy? I think once this energy gets activated and integrated into your body, and when you get your emotions aligned with it, you get your mind aligned with it, you know, your beliefs and your attitudes, and you allow it to move through your body, I think it's capable of taking care of anything, personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
really. I created a lot of problems by blocking it. And I gave myself heart failure, kidney disease, COPD, mm-hmm. and all these other things on paper. But I got rid of them all, at least as far as symptoms. I don't have any symptoms of any of that anymore.
And did you have to, Ted, did you have to go through all these medications or all these things or surgery?
Oh, yeah, I had like stage 4 hypertension because I knew what it was. I was blocking this energy. I mean, when you got all this energy coursing through you and you're not letting it course through you and you're worrying, because I was a warrior, yeah, I had, my blood pressure was like 240 over 160 when I was at one point. But I knew what it was. But I took the medications. I said, fine, we'll manipulate the body. But it was only, you know, the last few years where I just learned, like, I started to understand the blockages, the emotions, the more than anything else. And I realized the importance of the body. But I just started to peel back the layers and especially look at those, you know, some of the emotions that are barely conscious. You know, which is part of our identity, is who we think we are, you know, that little self. And this pushes it out, or it'll kill you, you know. I mean, it's, you get the message. And I went through a lot of physical stuff, and then I said, I got to get the message. Yeah, you know, I got to mm-hmm. get the message. And I've gotten the message pretty good. The only thing that bothers me now, I got a little bit of arthritis in the hip, but that's going away now. I mean, that's like bone on bone, but I'm feeling a lot better with that.
Wonderful.
And I'm
wonderful.
I really feel now that within a matter of time, I don't think I'm going to even need to take these medications. My girlfriend will give me a dirty look, but when I take them, now it's just like, I go by this intuition, by this energy. It's just, sometimes I forget to take them, and sometimes it's like, you know, there's no energy in this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it was something I had, you know, compromise I had to do, but now it feels like, but I'm not rushing into that or anything. At one point, about 20 years ago, just quick story, they told me I had a testicular tumor, wonderful thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Based on 2 ultrasounds, and at the time, I was feeling this energy, and the specialist told me, you got to get surgery right away. And then my doctor, primary doctor, called me back and said, I really want you to go get that surgery because I hate to see you commit suicide. Not having it, he thought would be tantamount to that. And I'm not saying I cured anything, but what I'm saying is the energy was so intense that I just knew that cancer was not compatible with the energy,
mm-hmm.
and that I didn't need the surgery. And I'm not recommending this to anybody, believe me.
No.
That would be irresponsible. But it's
mm-hmm.
just in my case, that's all I'm saying. I said, I just can't, I just knew that this energy was moving in a direction that had nothing to do with disease if I opened to it. And
mm-hmm.
it was, sure enough, you know, it's 30 years later and it's fine. Now, doctors could say, well, it was, you were the 1%, because they told me I had a 99% chance that it was malignant.
Mm.
They could say, well, you were that 1% that got lucky, which could be, who knows. And I certainly don't recommend it to anybody else, because it's the kind of cancer that they can cure.
Mm-hmm.
Made it even harder for me, because it was like, you know, you're an idiot. You know, what are you doing to cure this? But I say, I just can't do this, because the energy is just, it's not compatible. The energy is moving in this direction, you know, very positive direction, and I just can't see it. So
I totally get what you're saying. You know, there are things far beyond what conventional medicine knows. Not that it's bad. There are certain perks in certain areas. There are a lot of good doctors that really have studied hard to help people.
Yeah.
And I find that those are the doctors that are open to the alternative, too, because they're not stuck in a certain area. They'll encourage you to continue working. Occasionally, I work with stage 4 cancer patients, and I know their doctors are good when they go and tell them that they're receiving energy work, and the doctors are like, that's wonderful, you know. Especially when they're saying they don't have any hope, you know. They encourage them to keep hoping and keep expanding. And I do feel that what you're doing is tapping into that place that, you know, doesn't have logical explanation. It's a soul experience that can support.
And again, I would never recommend it unless you really, I mean, I was experiencing something pretty extraordinary, and I just, based on that, I knew it. I wouldn't tell somebody else to do it. To say, oh, yeah, you know, but I just knew it.
Yeah. But you're being responsible, and I just think the biggest testimony you're ever going to have is how you treat yourself and what the effects are from it. And that's what I'm hearing that has happened. That door has opened for you, which I'm quite delighted for, by the way. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I'm just kind of wondering, your CD, your new CD came out, right? And it's been out, how many days?
About a week.
Just a week? Okay.
Probably been a week or two, yeah.
All right. And now if somebody wants to go to your website, what's your website address? Can you give that to our listeners? Or I should say our guests.
Yes, it's www.songsofmysoul.com. And that if you wanted to get a physical CD, and I also put together a songbook with the lyrics, you could get it there. It'll show you how to get it. Songsofmysoul.com. If you wanted to just get a digital download, you can do that from CD Baby. If you go to www.cdbaby.com, and then you just have to search my name, and I can guarantee I'm the only one, I'm the only Slipchinski there. And it's S-L-I-P as in Peter, C-H-I-N-S-K-Y, Slipchinski. That takes you to my CD Baby page for, like, you can download one song for 99 cents, so you can get the whole album.
Wonderful.
Yep.
And I have no doubt it's going to be a success and that people are going to receive great benefit. And I just have, I think, one last question for you. As you reflect on the world as it is right now, are you feeling optimistic about our collective future?
It depends if I go into my mind or if I listen to the energy. If I listen to the energy, I'm very optimistic. If I listen to my mind, there's very little reason to be optimistic. But I believe in the I trust the energy over my mind. Because, you know, the mind can look out and see the trends. It almost seems like the purveyors of separation and, you know, power and whatever are just putting their feet down and just digging in. And I have no idea of how. Or the form. That's the thing. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
The river of life doesn't, you know, that energy, it just doesn't give you answers as far as form or outcome, but you know that there's a sense of all rightness about everything, and you just know that all you can do is do your part. And if you do that, you're a happy camper. Despite whatever you see around you going on, you just get more inspired to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
So, I'm optimistic. Yeah, because that energy is inherently optimistic.
Yeah.
It's joyful and creative, and there's nothing pessimistic about it.
Well, I want to thank you for your optimism, and because your optimism is connected to not just you, it's connected to all of us. And every drop of optimism helps to expand through these shifts with more ease and grace, and more joy is found through the shifts as we kind of ride that wave of optimism and high frequency together. So thank you for doing that. And TJ, do you have any questions? Yeah, I was just going to check and see if TJ had some questions.
You know, actually, I'm here, Ted. You know what I was doing? Been doing while
you guys fell asleep.
I went to your website. I went to your website, and we got a special surprise. I have a special surprise for you as you leave our segment today.
See the world with heaven inside. Find the treasure.
So there's a part of a song that's called, what, Light and Dark? Is that what that one is? Can you hear that? Sounds really good.
Yeah.
I really like the sound of it.
Beautiful.
And how
that's
many...
the name of the CD, actually, too, Light and Dark.
And what is there, like 8 songs, 9 songs on there, maybe?
9 songs, it's like 41 minutes. Yep.
That's cool. It's awesome.
Well, thank you again for coming on.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you both.
Really appreciate it. And thanks, TJ.
Take care.
Yes, take care. Many blessings. It was a joy to have you on.
Crumbles and dies when the truth that you've known.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
And he sang those songs to you when your brother was dying.
Yes, he did. He did.
And it lifted you out.
It did. As a matter of fact, when my brother remained transition, Ted saw Tommy's soul walking the land in Vermont after he died.
Really? Wow.
Talk about out there, huh?
You should be on my show sometime.
I think so. I haven't been on in a while. What's up with that?
We should do a show for me, because, we're usually doing Joy of Union, but we should do an out there show maybe sometime, if you got time. I know you got nothing going on, so,
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. I want you to know I went out to dinner at a haunted house yesterday, and it looks like, because I'm teaching these mediumship classes, it looks like we're going to start going into haunted houses and doing the work with all the machinery and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
So, yeah, that's another thing we'll get into. But I think at some point maybe what we could actually do is tune in. Is there somebody you want to talk to for a few minutes today, actually?
Well, we had initially had Amelia Earhart scheduled to communicate with us. I don't know, do you still want to go with Amelia? Because her story is amazing, and whatever happened to her, and what a woman with determination and grit and an attitude that she could do anything the guys could do.
Yeah, a soul sister, definitely, right?
And,
sure, let me just kind of phone in for a second and see if we can hook up the phone line, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
I see her face real clear, and I actually see her, there's a photo of her where she's smiling and she's standing beside her plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the image that came, and she's saluting. And it's interesting. She's standing beside her plane, but she's not standing on the earth. So I think we have a connection here. I said, Amelia, is there anything you want to say? And what I heard her say was, howdy. She says she's flying through the clouds now. She's wanting to tell you that she was an agent of change for to give the feminine voice of power, of, you know, the feminine a voice of power.
Mm-hmm.
And when they couldn't find her, she made transition because it was over. It was time.
Did she go down over water? Was she shot down, or did she just go down because she ran out?
No, I don't see she was shot down.
She ran out of gas.
I see her plane going down in water.
All right.
And I'm getting that they're going to find more remains. There's a lot of different myths and everything, but they're going to find remains.
There is something that, I'm sorry, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been wanting to ask Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of her disappearance, there were several things that were said. One, that she was spying for the U.S. and the Japanese got her. And then also that there was this young girl, and I can't believe the girl was lying. I think she was like 12 or something like that. And she heard Amelia's voice on shortwave radio saying something. And they, you know, everybody just said, no, you can't hear her. There's no way. Was there any truth in that? Was that girl picking up on something? Was that maybe even a cosmic voice that she heard?
Well, it feels like the child was psychic. That's the first thing I got.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, able to hear, you know, through, you know how sometimes psychics pick up voices through machinery and that kind of stuff. And it feels like that's what may have happened in that case. And as far as her being a spy, she wanted to ally, you know, for causes and that sort of thing. But I feel there was such a groundedness about her wanting to stay in the United States and kind of work effectively in a way that was more visible, like using her fame that way. That's what I'm getting. And she showed me this image. You know how when people use their hand to say as if people are yakking? And she's saying there was a lot of talk when people were famous about how what involvement they had with the government, politics, and war. And she said there was a lot of talk,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't mean that it was actually valid. In this case, she was advocating for things, but she was much more visible, and it was important that she was because she could be effective that way. So she did that, but she really wanted to make a difference in many ways. And from the I keep getting this thing like she had something with her own clothing line or some products that she sold. So, and I get this image that she wanted to make a difference from the smallest way to the biggest way she could. And she said she had a natural curiosity, and she said, and not only that, she came in a very conscious spirit, and she had high intuition. Very high intuitions, and she had a sense for things, and there was something in her connection with her dad that it feels like her dad knew what, you know, how bright she could shine, and there was like some encouragement there, but at the same time, there was a bit of the cap that was put on certain areas in her life, but her strides were so big in the ways that she made a difference. It was important she came. And she had backing from people. She had a lot of backing. There was something to with the connection with the man she was with, the, you know, the person or husband or partner, and that connection was part of the reason she came too, was because there was some karmic connection. They needed to come together, and she was wanting to resolve that before she left. And I can see this image of her over on the other side, and it's like she's soaring through the ethers. And she said her early on, I get this sense that she had dreams that she knew her name would be known, and she had a sense that she knew she wasn't going to live long. She didn't know how, but she knew she wouldn't live long. And because her passion for flight was so strong, in a very real way, when it came time for her to go, her soul chose to go in the happiest way possible for her.
Hmm. Has she been in other lifetimes here on the planet? I'm guessing yes.
I heard absolutely. This is somebody who whose voice and was very opinionated, okay? Mm-hmm. And I, like, when you asked that question, I could literally feel that aspect of her personality really strongly come out and go, absolutely. Absolutely.
Would we recognize any of those lifetimes?
Some yes, and some no.
Is there one that maybe stands up where she was another person that was a, kind of a figure in the front?
Well, I feel that, you know, during the time of Julius Caesar, during that time, it feels she was actually involved in some form of politics, and she was a man. And there's something, if you went through the records, her name is known somewhere there.
Okay.
And at the same time, I'm looking, I'm seeing this image of her someplace in Holland, and I'm seeing that there was something that had to do, I see her as a small child there, but she was involved in working with the windmills and helping to formulate how they worked. Her family was involved with that. So there was, she had this lifetime that gave her, sparked a fascination with a passion for how the wind would move things and how it would affect things. So it actually started her training or her curiosity in that life. And she was a girl then, too.
Was she working with Divine Feminine when she was flying around the world and making, you know, as an aviator in the 30s and 40s? Or I think it was the 30s. She died in the 30s. But was she working, you know, part of, is she connected to that, the Divine Feminine?
Well, she was very conscious and aware of the power of women, and they didn't call it the Divine Feminine back then. She's shaking her head no.
Okay.
She said it was more about women of power, women of position, prestige, okay? And she knew that she had a certain amount of this, and she also knew that her spirit couldn't be contained. But she didn't use the Divine Feminine term. She knew that there was an important link with power and the feminine, though. The perception, the words are different, but the perception's the same. So,
well,
yes.
Okay.
Not with those words, though.
Not with those words.
She wants to be very clear about that because the times were different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
Very different, yes.
Yeah.
Women certainly didn't have, well, I mean, it's gotten better over time, I guess. And you know, there was a time on this planet, too, wasn't there, Joy, when women were considered equals or above, you know, and it's been a long time since it's been like that. And so...
Well, there was a time when the goddess ruled, and the goddess temples were everywhere. And then there was an agreement made when I'm just describing what my experience is with this and what I feel about this, but there was an agreement made between the masculine, the god, and the goddess that if patriarchal society did not find a way to peace by the year 2000 when Christ came, 2,000 years ago, then it was like patriarchal society would rule for 2,000 if they didn't find a resolution, that during this time the feminine would step forward. But 2,000 years ago, the feminine stepped down. But before that, yeah, she was in charge. You know, she had more say than the masculine. Now this is the time of union where both male and female get equal say. So it's a very exciting time.
What would Amelia, if she's still with us, what would she like to tell people? What would she like to tell people about herself? Is there anything that maybe, you know, the press left out? Because, you know, back then it was like these newsreels and short little clips, and then you have the history books. But I'm guessing there's a lot more to this person.
Well, she keeps wanting to tell everyone she wants to be known for being fearless.
Mm-hmm.
She was fearless, she says. She said, and she says, like, initially, a lot of the ideas that she had and a lot of approaches to how she lived her life, it was almost like men had given themselves credit for things. And she really, really wanted to be known, wanted it to be known that a lot of the missions and things that she flew on were her ideas, and she had definite ideas about how she wanted to make a difference here. And there were things she supported, like raising funds and that kind of things, to help the war efforts, even though, you know, she wasn't a spy. She really helped in certain ways, and she gave a lot of financial support, but things like that were not known. And part of it was that, you know, it was considered odd for a woman to receive credit for supporting, like, a war effort, you know, solely. And she did a lot of things like that.
Well, as I recall,
more than,
go ahead. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say.
Yeah, the big thing I keep hearing that she wants people to know is she was fearless. And because she was fearless, she was able to live her dreams. And that is the message she wants to leave with people. She was able to live her dreams because she was fearless.
Well, I think you had to be as an aviator back then because a lot of them perished. So
yep.
you see a lot of them that. So many of them died. But I believe that Amelia, she went down before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. So it was prior to the war, at least our involvement in the war. I don't know if already Germany had been involved when she went down. I don't remember the exact year, but I believe it was prior to us being involved in World War II. Is that correct? Is that what she confirms?
Well, I'm getting that she left money to support war efforts for the United States.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
So, you know, there may have been a lot of talk about that during that time. You know how she said talk, talk, talk?
Right.
And her choice was to leave financial support with people. I see a smile.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So it was kind of like she left something here that would support in the long run, you know?
So there's no conspiracies that she wants to tell us about or anything like that? Nothing like that? Did her and Lindbergh have an affair? I want to know.
Well, it's funny. She smiles. She says, TJ, he wants to know. She's smiling. But it really feels, though, the big thing, the secret was about things that she did with her money,
okay.
You know, and that she did donate things to the United States, money to the United States for potential war efforts or whatever.
So none of the searches that have been out there looking for her plane have really, that's not anything, that things that they've turned up, none of that stuff is accurate?
Well, they didn't bring up anything that was absolute concrete, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the image I saw when you said, did she go down in the water, I literally, at that point, saw a flash, and I saw her plane go down in the water. And it's interesting because for a long time, logically, I thought she went down, on, like, just from things I heard, I thought, well, it would have made sense for her to crash, like, on an island or was hidden.
Right.
That isn't what I saw. What I saw was this plane going down in water, literally.
Well, she went down.
And that was the vision. Hmm?
She went down in 1937. So it was, according to it says, she was disappeared in 1937 in the Pacific Ocean. And first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic, but there's speculation that she ran out of gas or she missed an island or something like that where she was supposed
yeah.
to land, and then
yeah.
went into the water. But I think
that's what I saw, and my feeling is that you know, I'm trying. She's trying to show me something. Let me see. I have this image that something, I see her trying to pull back on something and it's stuck. And I do see the gas is empty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I see that, but I see her trying to figure out how to maneuver the plane and bring it down, and it didn't work. That's what I see.
Well, you had to be fearless in order to try to fly around the world like that. And also, 5 years after Lindbergh made his transatlantic flight, she's the first solo woman to do it, so she certainly has had the pioneer spirit and no fear whatsoever, fearless. And maybe that's a good lesson for all of us, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we...
But that's what she seems to want to say, is be fearless, you'll live your dream.
Yeah, and you'll, maybe you'll... When you fear things, you draw them in, too, right? So
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid I'm going to get run over by a car. Well, if you keep thinking that, you know. Maybe you draw it in. And you look at people that live their life fearlessly, you wonder how they get out of all their scrapes, that, you know, they survive. And that's something to be said as well. So it's really nice to talk to Amelia. Thank you very much, Amelia.
She saluted. She saluted.
I'm saluting back.
She smiled. She had a great smile.
Yes, she did.
Thank you. So that's what I heard with Amelia today. I have something I want to announce since we're on the air. All right.
What
Saturday
is that?
At 1 o'clock from 1 to 1:10. It usually goes into 1:15. We have our biweekly meditations focused on the safety and well-being of children and all souls. And I'm just going to give a shout-out with the call-in number. It's a free call, and you just call 605-475-4700, and the access code is 568-351-pound. So if you'd like to join us, we are doing a very focused exercise that assists with sending messages and holding our world and the innocence of all souls in safety and well-being. So we'd love to have you. And that is a T-shirts for Peace exercise.
Well,
do you want to add anything?
No, I do not. I think we're good. I think we've done enough. I think it was nice talking to Ted. It was nice talking to Amelia.
Yeah.
And we will do this again soon, will we not? I predict
Absolutely.
We will. I sense it.
Yes. I feel like the next interview we're going to have somebody who chats with dolphins and animals and a bunch of really cool things coming on. So.
Well, you're kind of chatting with an animal today, so, you know.
With me?
Yeah, you're chatting with an animal today, a little bit.
Which one?
Me.
Oh, not you. You're an angel.
I'm like a furry.
Animals are lovely.
Furry animal. I'm a furry animal.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. You're a furry-hearted animal.
Yeah. Anyway, it was nice talking to you.
You too. We'll catch up soon, everyone. Have a blessed day.